Starting hour number three of three. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. And the match is now underway. World Cup action. Team USA, Iran. For the Americans, it is win or go home. So I know a number of you are watching that right now. I am tracking that myself. In the meantime, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. One more thing I'm tracking. I'm efforting Jags linebacker, Foye Oluokun. He had a huge game in that come-from-behind win over the Ravens. I want to talk to him about that and Jacksonville and where that leaves them. That's coming up momentarily. You've got your phone number. If you want to hit me up on social media, you can do that. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Havatake.com. In case you missed it back at the top of the program, I discussed what happened last night in Monday Night Football. The Colts. Dodger Jano. Dodger Jano just popped in with a text. Quote, I'm stressed already. She's watching the match. 30 seconds in, she's already stressed. She's got, well, she is proud of the squad. She is proud of where she's from. And she knows the Berhalters. I've told you that story. Hey, you're stressed. Hey, Dr. Jano, if you're stressed, imagine how stressed they probably are. Or maybe not. The thing about that game, too, is, you know, they play that game at night. So you wonder, I wonder about the process. I would imagine that every one of those guys, especially leading up to it, they know how to account for every single hour. They've got their process, what they eat, what they do, how they sleep. But the fact that they play those games at night, that's got to be a long day waiting to finally play. But they are underway. So we will track that for you, too. I mentioned at the top of the program my recap last night's game and the Colts coming down to the wire. And you remember Jim Irsay saying, the thing that I like best about Jeff Saturday is he has no NFL experience. I like that. That's a positive. No NFL experience. And then last night, with the clock spinning, they don't use their timeouts. So maybe experience would have mattered. All right, in the meantime, if you're on hold, stay there. If not, the phone number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. As promised, we are joined right now by a linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was the 200th pick overall by the Falcons in 2018 out of Yale. Had an enormous game against Jacksonville. 18 tackles, 13 solo. Also, third in the NFL right now with 113 overall tackles. He led the NFL in tackles last season with 192. The Jags are at Detroit on Sunday. Foye Oluokun is my guest. Foye, great to have you on. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Good, dude. Good. Great to have you. So you had an enormous game against the Ravens on Sunday, as I mentioned. 18 tackles, 13 solo tackles. You've had some big games. Have you ever had a game like that personally?
Statistically, no. I just, you know, kind of just happened as the game was going on and kind of just make the plays as they come, fill in the gaps and stuff. But like while it's happening, it kind of just feels like one of those days where, you know, you're getting to the ball a little bit, but you're not feeling like it's a big, you know, number like that, no.
I get that. So what's a win like that do for the overall confidence for a young team like that to come back and finish the way you did? What's that do for the overall confidence of the team?
It's good just to know all the hard work we put in through the week is going to the right place. I know we've had ourselves in that situation a couple times this year where maybe it didn't fall the way we wanted it to, but just to see, you know, it's come out with a win in a close game against a great opponent like that. It just shows, you know, what we're capable of competing against week in, week out.
So, Foye, what's the experience been like for you? Like 6 months after you became a Jag, you were elected a captain. Not really surprising, but it's still pretty telling about you and what they think of you. What is your approach to leadership?
You know, I don't really describe myself as like a rah-rah guy. I think I'm more used to like leading by example, trying to show what work ethic I feel like works throughout a week. You know, showing my determination and stuff, trying to help the team win throughout the week. But it's always, you know, the next step of a leader is like bringing guys along with you, kind of showing them and then not telling them, but, you know, doing it all together. So, you know, especially as a defense, making sure everybody can see the same things out there on the field, be able to communicate with each other. But it's not just, you know, them seeing you do it, you got to pull people along with you a little bit.
Yeah, right. You know, the old saying, either you push or you pull if you're going to lead. You know, with that kind of mindset, it kind of brings me to the next point. You've put up some really, really big numbers this year. I mentioned you led the league in tackles last year. Do you feel like you're one of the top linebackers in the game right now?
Y'all never really look like it that way, because week in, week out, every linebacker, you know, you have a bad game or a good game. And to say that you're the top, all of a sudden next week you have a bad game, people are down on you about that. I just try to be my best every week, do what the team needs every week. I think a lot of linebackers have different skills across the league. I know a lot of times we're matched up in coverages. A lot of times, depending on the team you play, you might have to be more downhill. Some teams might have to be more lateral. But it's really being able to do what your team needs of you. If you can do that, then I feel like you're going to be a top linebacker in the league. But you know, sometimes different things are required from different people.
Foye Aluakin is joining us right now. Your journey to me is really amazing. In fact, I want to get into that in a moment, but I saw something also I thought was really interesting. You've got your own clothing line. It's called the Team Ugly Gang. Dude, the Team Ugly Gang, what is that all about? What's that mean?
It's really a brand of self-confidence. You know, just outside looking in, if I could wear a shirt, you know, calling myself ugly, I don't really care what people are thinking about my appearance or what people think about me, because I'm pretty confident of what I bring to the table, how I step every day. But ugly stands for you got to love yourself. And that can be, you can look at that many different types of ways, you know, just kind of in the football setting. You know, a lot of people are going to have, you know, doubts about you or say this and that about you. But if you're confident of like your skill set and what you bring to a team each and every time, you know, that's who you are and that's who you portray every week. And then if you want to look at it appearance ways, like people call you ugly, everybody's ugly to somebody. But at the end of the day, the brand logo is the ugly duckling, where people call it ugly his whole life. But at the end of the day, it was a swan, and that's the most beautiful bird in the world. But a swan, you know, at that time is going to be called ugly, but, you know, it's still a swan. So there's a swan in everybody, and everybody calls somebody ugly. But know who you are, know, be true to yourself, and that's what lets you shine.
Hey, dude, I'm so glad I asked you that question. Team Ugly Gang. I love the acronym, too. So when you went to Yale, story is you could play either basketball or football. Like, what did that decision come down to? Did you like football better, or maybe did it just make more sense to you?
It made more sense. I think watching as a fan, I like basketball better. But playing and the feeling that you get when you win on a football field is way better than basketball. But I wanted to go, and I wanted to, you know, I chose Yale for obviously academics, but I didn't want to have to wait to play whatever sport I did choose to play. And just the way the basketball was looking, you know, I'm 6'1", kind of combo guard. I knew a guy from St. Louis who was there, 6'4", he's pretty good. And, you know, we kind of had to wait 2 years to really get solidified starting playing time. So I was looking at the football team, and I was looking at the basketball team. I was like, you know, football might be the way to go here. 22 guys started every year. So I'll do that one.
Dude, in short,
I can get bigger, like more food and more connections. So it just made more sense to me.
Right, it made more sense. And in short, you did the math also, something you're good at. I'm curious, so when you stepped on campus and you made that decision, at what point did you start thinking about the NFL as a real possibility? Like, you know what, man, I can play there.
There's two, like, after freshman year, I got FCS, All-American for the freshman team. And then some of my coaches said, you know, keep on this path, keep getting better, you have a chance to make the league. And I just thought that's what coaches say to all the good players or whatever. But then it wasn't until actually my high school teammate, Zeke, he went off against Alabama. And I was watching that. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because I grew up, you know, competing with them all high school. In Alabama, you're just here, like, at that time, you know, top of the top. You know, they can't be beat. And he goes off and beats them to go to the championship, wins MVP, all that stuff. Gets drafted fourth. I see him get drafted fourth. I'm doing some math. I'm like, you know, I remember competing against him. Unless, like, you know, our college programs are that much different where he just got way much better than me, there's no way I can't make it to the NFL and at least compete with those guys too. You know, if he's going to be the superstar that he is, I'm going to have at least a role. So I just, you know, from that point on, I actually got hurt that year when I saw him. I was sitting there in a sling when he got drafted. I said, I'm going to come back from my injury. I'm training my best these next 2 years. I'm going to try as hard as possible to get there, because I know if I get my foot in the door, I'm going to do it, whatever it takes to make it work. So that was kind of my mindset after that, and that's why I realized, like, my real chances on making the NFL.
All Right, so for those who didn't pick up on that, when you just kind of slipped that in, my high school teammate Zeke, you're talking about Ezekiel Elliott. So when you realize, hey, you know what, I know that I can hang. I've competed against this guy. I belong. And then the 2018 draft comes along, and you do get drafted. But I mean, back to the basketball thing for one thing. Like, you did the math, and football made more sense, but you did love basketball, and you played basketball growing up. I'm curious, who was your favorite basketball player when you were a kid growing up?
Oh, growing up, I say most consistently it was Rondo, Rajon Rondo.
How come?
Rajon Rondo. It's a floor general, and he's kind of overlooked on every team, but he brings what he brings to the team and makes them better. Like, if you look at that Boston Big Three, without a point guard doing what he does, I don't think they do much on the court. And then he was scoring in his abstract ways. He was averaging like a triple-double in big games. You know, he'd have his crazy stat line, like 20 points, 24 assists, 10 rebounds, like, but he wouldn't go talked about. And I was the person who, like, understands, you know, the ins and outs of basketball. I'm like, this guy here, he doesn't get all the praise in the world, but he's really what makes the team go. And then I liked his attitude, just, and he's kind of a quiet, confident person. I just watched his interviews and stuff. I just love, you know, his confidence in himself. No matter what people on the outside say, the confidence in himself, and he knows what he brings to the team. I really like that about him.
He didn't give a damn, right? I mean, he cared a lot about the right things, but he didn't care what you thought or what anybody else thought, and that was really good for him. For you, you changed your number when you came to Jacksonville from 54 to 23. It seems pretty obvious as to why you might do that, but for those not picking up on that, what was the thinking behind that move?
Yeah, I was 23 my whole life growing up, and everybody, you know, again, in basketball, you want to be somebody. Everybody wants to be Michael Jordan, and it's just this competitive spirit, and then and that's kind of what I feel like I bring. I have a lot of competitiveness about me. And, you know, they say he takes things personally. I feel like I won't say people try me all the time, but I do take a lot of things personally, quietly. And that really fuels me into competing against whoever I'm going against, because I want to be, you know, or have a leg up on whoever I go against. I want to win. I want to prove that I won't say better, but I want to prove that I can beat whoever I go against day in, day out. And I feel like you have to have that kind of mindset about you to train that hard or to play that hard, just trying to prove, you know, to whoever. Even if the person might not be said as good as you, I have to prove, you know, to you that, you know, I'm going to beat you that day. So I just love that, you know, his work ethic and his kind of mindset going into games and going into training that I feel like most athletes should embody.
So before you go, really quickly, let me ask you this. Like, those who know, know. I mean, you very clearly have proven yourself. You talk to anybody that you've played with, anybody you play with right now, they know exactly what you're all about. They know you're the guy who's going to lead from the front. You mentioned that people will try you. Do you feel like people still try you? Do you feel like you still have things to prove, like, that way?
Oh, I got something to prove every day I step in the facility. I got something to prove to coaches, to my peers, to myself. And then when I go against somebody, to them, really, I get tried just somebody, you know, let's say they lower their shoulder in a hole. Like, they really thought that you could run over me. And I'm not saying that they can't run over me, but you really, like, had that thought in your mind that you was going to run over me. Like, you thought that I was weak and you're going to run. It's just like, I don't like that. It's just little things like that. It's just the game. Like, they're just playing the game to the best of their ability, but, you know, I just play for respect. Like, if I play against somebody, I want to earn their respect. I want them to not necessarily come to me after the game, but I want them to acknowledge, you know, have a mutual respect. Like, you're good, I'm good, so we're good. But if I feel like they don't have that respect towards me, that's where I feel trapped.
Like, for you, to me, are a really different dude, and I mean that in the best way possible. So, like, the game. Well, how do you see the game? Is the game just a game? I mean, an important game. You take it really seriously. Is it a game, or does it represent something even more than that to you?
I feel like it's an opportunity. Every game is an opportunity. Obviously, the game is fun. It's a game. I kind of put a lot of importance in these games that I play. So, you know, when I lose, I get really down. When I win, I'm up. But I want to win the next one just because I know how my emotions kind of ride off of it. But it's really like an example of who I am. I put on tape every week. It's kind of like, I would say it's a lifestyle, because that's really – all I'm doing right now is trying to show to people I feel like are important in my life, you know, my love, my dedication to the game. I want them to show, I'm trying to show, you know, how good I am every week. So I say it's a lifestyle right now.
I like that. I like that a lot. And one last thought. Trevor Lawrence looked just great Sunday, and not just on that winning drive. Obviously, it's your first year with the team. But from what you see and what you hear, what's the biggest difference in him this year as compared to last year?
I don't ask about last year just because I don't like when people start talking down and stuff. But this year I'm seeing a lot of confidence and a lot of ability to kind of shrug off what might have happened in the past this year. Or what might have happened, like, last play and be able to get to that next play because he has the confidence in himself, kind of like what I was talking about earlier. Like, he knows what he's capable of every play. And I love how coachable he is. So, like, the Trevor Lawrence we saw in the beginning of the season is the Trevor Lawrence we're seeing now. And even, you know, when he does have a good game, he's always talking about things he could have done better. I think in order to be, you know, one of the best, you got to keep improving yourself every game. And if you can do that every game, not just every season, but you know, from last game to the next game, you're going to improve rapidly.
He was currently third in the NFL in tackles this year, led the NFL in tackles last year, coming off an enormous game in that win over the Ravens, played his college ball at Yale, and was drafted in 2018. Foye Oluokun, my guest. Foye, I usually do not keep a guest that long, but just had to chop it up, man. That was fun. That was interesting, and I really appreciate you. Great to have you back on. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you. Yeah, it was cool talking with you.
You too. Foye Oluokun. That, as I mentioned, is a different dude, and I mean that in the best way possible. That is a really interesting guy. So I wanted to kind of spend as much time with him as I could. And it's always good to talk Jacksonville Jaguar football. You know what I appreciate, too? When I asked him, from what you can gather, I know you were not there, what's the biggest difference between last year and this year? With Trevor Lawrence, he was really quick to say, you know what, I'm not talking about last year. I don't want to talk about anything negative. Don't bring that around here, which I appreciate and I respect. All right, so they're at the 16.5-minute mark. No score right now. World Cup action. Take a short time out. When we come back, we are open the rest of the way. If you want to react to that, go right ahead. Great conversation right there. As I mentioned also, some big names coming up this week. Nothing I want to jinx, but some big names. Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. The legend Joe Montana is my scheduled guest. That's tomorrow. So one quick question. I got to ask, why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so incredible? It's going to start with the fact that it is a family business. A family business that's been around for a long time. A family business which stands by quality and produces the world's best beef jerky. I'm telling you, beef jerky is not one and the same. I hear this all the time. You go to a store, you want beef jerky, you grab anything you can find because you think it's all the same. It's not. Far from it. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And it comes in four different flavors. They're all absolutely amazing. Myself, I go back and forth. If you're not sure which one you want, try them all. They come in 4-ounce bags. If you know which one you want, load up with the big boy, the 18-ouncer. That way you've got enough for the entire team or family. If you do not see it, be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name because I'm telling you, no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes and are therefore eligible to receive a refund, not a loan, but a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. To schedule your free ERC consultation, call Omega Accounting Solutions, 800-704-2000, or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. 23-minute mark. Still no score. Check in with my EP, executive producer, Tommy. Yo, dude, so I'm trying to do the show and watch the match, trying to conduct the interview and watch the match. I think that you were trying to follow the interview because you are the EP, but I know you're a soccer honk and you love this.
As best I could, yeah.
Okay, so give me your impressions. Based on what you're seeing, we had this conversation earlier. Do the Americans to you look like they're coming out aggressively with chances?
Absolutely. I think they look great so far. I don't want to jinx anything at all, but this is a really good start for them. Iran's come out kind of sitting back, just like Alejandro Bedoya told you that they would, to look for a counterattack. They only need to draw in this game. They don't actually need to win. So they're kind of playing defensive, looking for a counterattack. Meanwhile, we are holding the ball, making chances, crossing the ball in. We've had a couple dangerous plays. One could have gone in already. So we're at the 25th minute, and we've pretty much dominated the game so far.
Yeah, I'm watching the same thing. They are aggressive. I'm happy to see that. Yep. Really happy to see that.
Energy's good, too. Like, there's pep. They don't look overwhelmed at all by the moment. Like, they're ready for this.
I got to say, dude, that is your best analysis since you started here on anything.
Thank you, sir.
On anything.
I love this team.
Do you?
Yeah, I love this team. I love this sport. I love this team. This is just a huge day. We waited 8 years for this day. So
dude,
this
are you
is
nervous?
Tremendous. Yeah.
You
can't,
are.
I can't stop fidgeting in here. Oh, yeah, I'm nervous.
All right, you got it. All right, nice job. No, I mean that sincerely. That is some of your best analysis to date in any
Gracias.
Sport since you got here. All right, there you go. So with one eye, I'm watching that and watching the program. I'm trying to get a sense. I'm looking at social media, and I'm trying to get a sense of how many of you clones are into that and watching that or don't care about that at all. Hit me up. I'd love to know. In fact, I would love to know. Hit me up and call and talk about it. Do you like what you've seen from the Americans so far? Because if you're watching me right now on CBS Sports Network, I'm not even faking it. Out of the corner of my eye, I am watching the match, and I think they are really aggressive, and they are getting more chances. Haven't finished anything yet, but I like the tone. I like the energy. And so far, the moment does not seem too big, and it's an enormous moment for one of the youngest teams in the tourney. So far, so good. 1-800-636-8686. Also, reaction to the interview. That was a conversation with Foyer Oloakin. This says, Rome, thank you for that interview. Cool dude to hear from. His clothing line sounds awesome. I love the Jags getting some jungle karma. For tomorrow, could you line up an interview with Jackson DeVille? After Sunday, that guy clearly has a story to tell. Vincent, Illinois. Maybe. Why don't we wait and see how Sunday goes? Foyer's cool as hell. But you can win the Super Bowl, and it's pretty safe to assume I'm not going to interview a mascot wearing a thong. Foyer is cool as hell. I love his story. That's why I kept him as long as I did. And even then, you can't really do it justice. That's like podcast material. He's got such an interesting background and such an interesting approach. Jamie in Green Bay writes, Logs must have been shaken by that girl in Eagle River telling him that she could out-squat him. See, he's funny like that. Logs doesn't get rattled. Like, he takes all that stuff in stride. Like, he thinks it's kind of funny. And tip of the hat, it's a true story. When he was in Eagle River, he met this gal from Chicago. When we go to Wisconsin in the summertime, everybody's from Chicago. If they're not from Wisconsin, they're from Chicago, and a few of us got loose from Cali. But he met this gal at the lake, and she hit him. Like, it was one of those deals where they were just jet skiing. And he's like, yo, what's up? And she's like, yo, what's up? And they didn't talk very long, and then she straight up hits him with, how much can you squat? And he told her, and she's like, that's all? And I can't remember what the number was, but she was an athlete, and she could out-squat him. And he thought it was funny. He rolled right off his back. So, no, he wasn't rattled by that. I try and talk junk to the kid and get under his skin, but he doesn't rattle. I've seen Logan give up like 900-foot bombs, and he just smiles. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. Like, he competes, he works hard, but he doesn't rattle. Kids are all different. Like, Jake. When Jake played baseball, man, he would turn the bat to sawdust. I'm like, dude, try easier. Dude, try easier. And Jake wanted it so badly and was so tight. Logan's the opposite.
Scrumptious.
I'll ask him, dude, were you nervous? He's like, yeah, a little bit. But he doesn't rattle like that. In terms of bulk season, I just can't figure it out. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if Logan is shredded or if he's chunky. I can't figure the kid out. Because half the time he eats really clean and has a plan, and half the time he's just throwing crap in his face. But then I'll see him leave at 5 o'clock in the morning and hit the weight room hard. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? What is the plan here? Is this just a reason to eat? Because we couldn't get him to eat for the longest time. And now he won't stop and eats at the worst possible times. He eats like an offensive lineman now. Like Jake, when Jake was in high school and Jake had a trainer and Jake was all about the life, all about the life, all about the life. And he was trying to put on weight. Jake for, you know, Jake was 5'11" and got massive for him. But he was eating 6 eggs and 4 waffles with peanut butter and protein this and protein that. Like, he ate all the right things and got massive. Logan eats all the right things 50% of the time and then eats whatever in front of him the other 50% of the time. I've seen that kid come home with bowls from Chipotle, and I'm like, holy crap, are you going to eat that all today? So the answer to the question is no. He was not rattled and shaped by meeting some gal who could out-squat him. He thought that was funny. I can't figure the kid out. I just know that when I try and get under his skin, now he just laughs at me and defuses it. It doesn't work. The kind of stuff that if I said to Jake, Jake would be like, "Yeah, yo, thanks, Pop. Thanks, Pop." And he'd be kind of butthurt. And then Dodger Jan would be like, "Don't do that. Why do you do that?" I'm like, "Why do I do what, man? It's funny." But when I try and do it to Logan, he just turns it around on me, and that's not fun. Because I can't get under the kid's skin because he doesn't care, which makes me laugh. Does that make sense? To answer your question, no, it's not because he met some teenage gal who could out-squat him. He respected it. Still no score. 30-minute mark now. Ken in SA, James, if the U.S. wants to win, they need to score. Sincerely, Magic. Is that an actual tweet? Would it surprise anybody if that were an actual tweet? That's another one of those great questions of life. Is Magic really that oblivious and that bad at Twitter? Or is he trolling all of us? Is he the worst ever at Twitter, or is he the best ever at Twitter? No, I mean that. I don't know. I go back and forth on that. Brian in San Pedro. Jumping into the action is what happens every time I walk in my restaurant. Sincerely, Pervin. We're talking the world's game here. We're not talking Buddy needs a night out. And Mark Moda, Rome. So, did Chalk bring Capri's son in orange slices for the crew, or did you? War U S M N T hashtag LFG. No Capri's son, no slices, none of that, but we are into it. We are into it. Rit is also a big soccer honk. Hey, Avi, how you feeling? You into it? Avi's like, I'm fine. Dude, you sound tight. Chalk is trying to work on Avi to recruit him to the other side. Rome, did you say that Hugh gets a phone with mom's number? Can I get one with other people's moms? Sincerely, Zach Wilson.
Your mom.
All right, so now it's getting away from me a little
bit. It's windy as hell out there too, guys.
All right, so when we come back, what I want to do is talk about the LA Lakers, because I haven't done that for a while. I want you to make sure that I am tracking the Lakers. Ooh. Tracking the Lakers. And they did something last night that was statistically not only improbable, but seemingly impossible. But if anybody could pull it off, it's the Lakers. And they did. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back. Some amazing things transpiring during that break. Team USA scored. Beautiful goal. In fact, let me bring Chalk back. It's kind of funny to hear my team's reaction to the goal. Chalk out of his chair. Old man Rit probably got high enough off the ground you could get a piece of paper underneath him. Alvy, stoic. And James Kelly with some just worthless, ridiculous takes and responses. Tommy, break it down. What a beautiful goal that was. How'd that feel?
Christian Pulisic, beautiful goal. Couple quick plays.
Hey, by the way, is he up yet?
He is up, but he's off the field. So we're actually playing 10 on 11 right now because he took a kick to the groin area and shot just wide, almost 2-0.
So I'm asking you and not James Kelly, because James Kelly would have termed that a kick to the stick. Okay, yeah. Anyway, go back. Absolutely beautiful goal.
Beautiful goal resulting in a severe kick to the stick. So severe he had to come out of the game, and he's still out of the game. I don't know whether they're going to sub him out or not, but yes. Beautiful ball across to Sergino Dest. It was an outside back for AC Milan in Italy, and he headed it back across
to
Christian Pulisic.
That's not good right there. He's walking off.
And there's Christian limping away. It looks like he's going to have to come out of the game. He's trying to jog it off.
He's trying to kind of jog it off.
Look at that love of country, Jim.
You do. That was beautiful. So the question now is, how aggressive does Team USA stay? Iran needs a draw to advance.
That's right. They need a point, so they now need a goal. So in theory, their strategy of sitting back and counterattacking, now they got to get more aggressive, which also in theory should give us more opportunity to attack them if we stay aggressive ourselves. So hopefully we do.
Hopefully we score again. All right. There you go. Nice job, Tommy. 42-minute mark. Prior to that happening, I saw this email, and I was going to read this email regardless prior to that goal. And I want to read it right now. Hey, Rome, Berhalter has got to go. No Gio Reyna on the pitch is an insult to the sport. Being an avid Dortmund fan, where Reyna plays professionally, I've watched him be a catalyst and a playmaker for that team at the highest level in Germany. The fact that he can't even get on the field for the U.S. national team is an indictment of this coaching staff. Regards, Scott and Crabchester. Were you talking soccer? All right, so I received, and by the way, that email, Scotty, did not age well. I received that prior to the goal, and I was going to read that, and
I love when you talk.
And I was going, yeah, you love when I talk soccer.
I love when you talk.
So I'm not, I want to be very clear about this. I'm not only reading it because the USA scored. I was going to read it anyway because my response was going to be, Hey, Scott, I understand your frustration. You're not the only one asking, where's Reyna? Why is he not playing more? However, when you say Berhalter has got to go, no Gio Reyna on the pitch is an insult to the sport. I don't know, Scott. Maybe we wait until the end of the game before we fire anybody. Maybe we wait until at least halftime before we fire anybody. In the meantime, Team USA is up 1-0. And they are staying aggressive. I think that's key. Are you watching? What's your reaction thus far? 1-800. But he did say, were you talking soccer? I have. Just had another great chance. They are staying aggressive. And Pulisic is back on the field. He stayed down for a pretty long time. Look, if you can't celebrate a goal in that situation, he was in pain. He was in pain, but he's back on the field right now. And they are nearing the 45-minute mark. And again, aggressive with chances. Then again, James Kelly's like, who wouldn't stay down? It was a direct shot. Yeah, I know, James. I'm not asking your opinion. The last opinion that I want on this match is yours, James Kelly. James Kelly's like, yeah, but I've got lots of opinions when guys take direct shots to the stick. Yeah, I know. Dude, know your room. We're on in the middle of the day. This is not the pod. This is not our gambling pod. Keep it to yourself, dude. I don't want to have to block you. Keep it to yourself. All right, in the meantime, I want to talk about the Lakers for a minute. Laker fan, I've got to admit, I thought that it could not get any worse and that you had already hit rock bottom. In fact, I said as much. That's rock bottom, except that I was wrong. I was wrong again because last night, that purple and gold Titanic of yours just sideswiped their biggest iceberg of the season, it seems, again. And in the most fitting way possible, it happened against the team that was supposed to save your season. Remember? The team that was actually possibly willing to and might still take Westbrook off your hands.
Westbrook.
The Pacers. All that talk about that trade over and over and over again. And who's to say that still doesn't happen? But in terms of last night's game on the floor, there are meltdowns, and then there's whatever the hell happened to the Lake Show at the Crypt. Get this. Just under 10 minutes left in last night's game, the Lakers were up 101-84. Check this data because it's incredible. According to ESPN's win probability chart, LA had a 99.1% chance of winning. Not only that, the Lakers had won 378 straight games when leading by 17 or more in the fourth quarter. 378 straight games.
Take that for data.
Right? Yeah, well, the Pacers snapped that damn streak and then snatched whatever soul remained of even the most loyal and myopic Laker fan because they scored 29 points in under 10 minutes, and then the rookie, Andrew Nembhard, called game on LeBron.
Hold on, he held on it too long.
Nembhard away!
Got it, baby!
Got it! The rookie out of Gonzaga yeah. hits a three at the buzzer to win the game!
Baby! Oh, how cool is that?
Andrew Nembhard, his fourth three as the clock expires to win in L.A.
Safe to say that is not Lakers radio. That was Pacers radio. And on the season, the allegedly rebuilding Pacers are 12-8. And the allegedly title-contending Lakers are 7-12. LaFib was asked about what went wrong after the game. And no haters, he did not LaFib. He actually told the truth. When asked what went wrong, LaFib said everything.
You know, everything has to go wrong in order for you to lose a game like that, and everything went wrong.
Pretty much. You know, like the entire season, LaFib, everything's going wrong. I know you've got this amazing way of spinning things, like when you said last season was not a failure, but maybe even you can give an honest assessment of the current state of the purple and gold without your nose growing there, dude. Nice job. You're all failing again. Another bad, boring, unwatchable Laker team. However, even at its worst, Laker teams were not blowing 17-point leads in the fourth quarter. Yet they just did, when they had a win probability rate of 99.1%. And don't come up in here with, hey, Rome, take it easy. We had won 5 of 6. Right, you had, but you beat up on bad teams. You beat the East Coast Lakers without two of their alleged big three. You feasted on two of the worst teams in basketball, who are already in full-on tank mode, in the Pistons once and the Spurs 3 times. That's who you beat. And to add insult to injury, stop me if you've heard this before. No, not Big Head. Hey, Big Head, no. Not street clothes, but LaFib himself got dinged again. Sprained his ankle early on, finished the game, but clearly was hobbled last night. And considering the guy had missed 6 of 7 games with a groin strain before returning on Friday, they clearly cannot count on this guy to be out there consistently. Of course. I mean, how can you blame the guy? He's got like a million miles on him. Even worse news for Braun, his ankle was not the only thing hurting. His pride also was hurting this morning because he took another L online because Twitter would not let him forget that he was outplayed by another rookie who called him out. Not the Rook who hit the game winner, but Ben Mathurin. And you can all say what you want about Ben, but this dude walks the walk. Remember, Ben went viral before the season when he said that he doesn't think that anybody is better than him, even Braun. He issued a challenge saying, quote, he's going to have to show me he's better than me, end quote. Yeah, well, he didn't. Ben scored more points, he grabbed more boards, and he finished +7 on the plus-minus box while LaFib was a -7. Naturally, NBA Twitter transitioned from clowning the Rook for his comments to dunking on the king. 1-0 Ben. To quote the great Jalen Ramsey, they ain't capping, King. They ain't capping. The Rook won. Like, where is LaFib's hype man when he needs him most? Because believe me, this morning, he could really use him. You still the king.
Hey, hey, don't worry about that, man. You're the king, man.
Don't worry about that, man. You're still the king.
Hey, don't worry about that, man. You're
Even
the king,
though the
man.
Rook got over, you're still the king. You're still the king. Hey, actually, you're not. King, Ben is the king this morning. He called his shot, then he went out, and he backed it up. Ben, you're the new king. Oh, look at the Americans. Offsides. No! No! I thought the Team USA had scored a second goal, but offsides. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Wow. Offside. That goal, they did not look at it. That did not count. 1-0. No! Yeah, Wooden Laconic ass. Even Dodger Jano just hit me. No! I haven't seen Dodger Jano this into this show in a long time. She even had thoughts on the Hugh Freeze take. Oh, are we done?
Now I'm done.
Now we're done. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From the professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to Alejandro Bedoya, Foyer Aluakin. Look at Chalk stepping up with some soccer analysis. We'll be all over this game tomorrow. U.S. up 1-0 right now. My thanks to the XR4TI clones. Thank you very much. Y'all have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. We're out.